I definitely overlook the fact that you can use your points in so many cool ways.
Yeah.
And that is definitely an added perk of that card.
Hello, and welcome back to the Daily Drop podcast. And we are doing something a little different and hopefully a lot of fun today. I think we're both feeling some nerves about it, but it's going to be a good time. So we have set ourselves up with a little challenge today, whereas myself and Mike both attempted to book the best trip using points with only $0 annual fee cards.
That's right. And so it was a challenge.
It was definitely a challenge, which I think we knew going into it. And then the more and more I got into it, I was like, ooh, this is really a challenge. It kind of brought me back to like some of my beginning travel hacking days where I was like, I was just finding a lot of joy in it. So anyways, I digress. We did have some rules going into this challenge to keep us at a level playing field here today. So our first rule was that we could only each choose three cards. So three cards with no annual fee. And then we each had $10,000 of spend to put on the card. So that was intended to meet minimum spend, earn points with. And then when it comes to our redemptions, once we have earned our points on our three cards of choice, we had a $1,000 cash budget. So for taxes and fees, other transportation, etc. These trips must originate from our home airports. And then the flights, hotels, and any inner city transit must also be accounted for. So those are our rules to stay in line with.
We had a $1,000 cash budget as well to use towards those things. In addition to the rewards we earn, we also have $1,000 of cash to play with towards the trip. Okay. And to make it even more fun, we have two other little elements here. First of all, Megan and I have not discussed this with each other yet. So neither of us have any clue what these trips look like. We don't know which cards the other person picked. We don't know what strategies the other person used. So we're learning. When you hear about these cards and these trips, we're also hearing about it for the first time. So that's kind of exciting. And to make it even more interesting and to give Megan and I an incentive to really make these trips as cool as possible, we want you to vote on which trip you think is the best. And that's totally like your opinion. It can be based on your travel preference. It can be based on whatever you want. If you think one of us got extra creative, or you liked the card stack that we picked, or just the way we approached it, or the actual destinations, or the style of travel, whatever it is, it's totally whatever you think that means to you. And we're going to have a poll in the Daily Drop Lounge, which is our Facebook group. That'll be linked in the show notes, where you can go to the lounge and find the poll and vote, and you can see the results as they go. You can see how other people are voting. You can leave a comment if you have any thoughts, questions, ideas. So we want to hear about it because we're very competitive. We both really want to win this thing. It's the highlight of our year. So please go vote.
Sure. That's exactly why. If you don't
just trying
vote
to get people jazzed about voting.
If you don't vote for my trip, just go validate me in the comments so I can feel good about it anyway.
Yes. And without further ado, so how we're going to do this is we're each going to sort of go one at a time. I'm going to tell Megan the first card that I picked. Then she'll tell me one of the cards that she picked. We'll go back and forth until we've both told each other all six cards. And then we'll each break down the trip. So what spend we put on each card, what rewards we earned, how much, and then the specific trip that we booked and how we did it.
Yep.
And to be clear, we didn't actually book these. This is like hypothetical, but it is like hands, like this could actually be booked in this exact way.
I might book it mine.
Yeah, mine's a little... You'll see. Anyways, my first card that I picked, drum roll please, is the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited.
Ooh.
Weird choice, because normally the reason people get this card is because when you pair it with a card that earns ultimate rewards, this card can also earn ultimate rewards. Without that card, mm-hmm. it cannot earn ultimate rewards. It just earns cash back. And since mm-hmm. both of those other cards have annual fees, this is just, there's no situation where this card can earn rewards other than cash back, and I chose it anyways.
Yeah.
So that's my first
interesting card. All right, my first card is, are we going to do a drum roll for every card? Like, the Venture One rewards card. And okay. Much like many of our card families, be careful, all the Venture cards have very similar names, specifically mm-hmm. the Venture One rewards card. And I think with my strategy in general, I was really thinking long term. Like, if you're going to start with a $0 annual fee stack, how can you kind of maximize on families you might want to add on to later? So that's mm-hmm. something I was kind of okay. keeping into account as well.
All right. Interesting card choice. Two. Card number two for me is, I'm going to avoid the drum roll this time, the Hilton Honors $0 annual fee card.
Good one. Yeah.
A pretty obvious choice, I think, for obvious reasons, unlike the other two, which are less obvious. But yeah, mm-hmm. Hilton Honors $0 fee card.
Yep. I wonder what he's going to do with that one. my next card was the Built card.
Ooh, very nice choice. Mm-hmm. Very nice choice.
It was nice and also added a little extra challenge, which we'll talk about. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. And my final card, and this is a fun one.
Okay.
The Wells Fargo autograph card.
You know, I had my eye on it.
Yeah.
It's not what I picked.
Okay.
I'm really excited you did because I want to hear about it. But
yeah, well, all will be revealed.
That's the cool thing about this challenge, I guess. My final card was the Freedom Flex.
Okay. All right.
So
interesting. So none of our cards overlapped.
Not one overlap. Wow. Which is
kind of surprising.
It's surprising and it's really cool.
I did eye the Venture One card. That was a contender for a while. And yeah. I did eye the Built card. Mm-hmm. But as you might have gathered at this point, I ended up opting for a cash back heavy strategy on this
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
And so most of my trip is booked with cash.
Right.
From the rewards on these cards.
Makes
and
sense.
So basically, I'll go now and explain how many rewards I earned. Mm-hmm. And then, Megan, you can do the same with your cards.
Right.
If you have that data. And then I'll explain how I redeemed those for the trip. So I'll break down the spend and what I earned from that. So again, we have $10,000 to play with between all of these cards. And that can earn rewards on the spend, but it also has to meet the minimum spending requirements for each card so we can get the welcome bonuses. So the first card, the Ink Business Unlimited. Easy choice because with a cashback strategy, $900 cashback signup bonus, it's not as good as 90,000 ultimate rewards if you have that card pairing, but it's still a lot of money to go towards a trip, especially because it has a $6,000 minimum spend. So you have to put at least $6,000 on it, and it earns 1.5% cashback on everything, which is a pretty good base earning rate. And so with the $6,000 spend and the $900 signup bonus, that's $990 of cold hard cash mm-hmm. that we're working with. And then keep in mind, we also have the $1,000 cash budget to play with. So right off the bat with this one card, I have almost $2,000 to work with towards a trip. Yep. Next, the Hilton Honors card, I decided to put I put $1,340 on this card. Very specific. It meets the minimum spend. And just in general, that card earns 3x Hilton points on everything. Mm-hmm. So with the 100,000 point signup bonus, which is the reason I picked this card, because for a $0 annual fee card, even though Hilton points aren't super valuable, mm-hmm. 100,000 of them are valuable, for a total earned 104,000 Hilton Honors points. Random number, maybe, maybe not.
Intentional.
And then the Wells Fargo autograph. Again, this was for a cashback strategy. And the reason I picked this was because the signup bonus of like $300 cashback isn't great, especially compared to the other $0 card I had that earned $900 as a signup bonus. But yeah. it's not bad for a $0 card still, and it has a lot of 3% earning categories: restaurants, travel, gas stations, transit, streaming services, phone plans. All of that stuff earns 3% cash back. And so since all of my other spend, which is over $7,000, is on just non-categorized spend, which I think is reasonable, I put all of the spend for this card, which was $2,660, just the remainder of that 10 grand that I had, on 3% categories, which over the months that you're earning these welcome bonuses, restaurant, travel, gas stations, transit, streaming, phone plans, those are all daily spend categories. And since this is the only one that I'm putting any spend in those categories, I put that all as 3% cash back. Mm-hmm. That's about what I'd spend on those categories. That's less than what I personally would spend on those categories mm-hmm. over that time, for a total earned $380 of cash back. So my overall rewards, so simple, between the cash back and the travel budget, I have $2,370 of cash to play with. And the Hilton points, I have 104,000 of, and that's it. That's what I'm working with.
Not bad. Not a bad place to be. Pretty impressive with $0 annual fee cards.
Let's hear yours.
So we'll start with my Venture One rewards card. So the Venture One has a sign-up bonus right now where you can earn 20,000 bonus miles once you spend only $500 on purchases in the first 3 months from account opening, which is probably why it was an enticing card for both myself and Mike, because that's a pretty solid
and these are
amount.
Venture miles. So these are...
Yeah, no joke.
20,000 is pretty good for no fee.
Yeah, and with the Venture One, a $0 annual fee, that still gives you access to transfer partners. I mean, it gives you some pretty sweet opportunities. Yeah, it is. And so I actually kept my spend pretty low on this card. I only did some kind of bills slash other. I made like a very legitimate fake budget with this challenge, by the way. Nice. And so $850 on that card. So with sign up bonus and on the Venture One, you earn 1.25 miles per dollar on all purchases that are categorized in that kind of other category. So mm-hmm. that gives me 21,062 points.
Very nice. Not a bad start for $0.
Yeah, not a bad start. So then moving on to Built, you all can probably guess what expenses I put on here. But one interesting thing that I did play with on here, which we might be pushing the rules of this challenge a little bit, but we're going to roll with it. Built has an unofficial sign-up bonus that not everyone gets, but most people get.
I think that counts.
Okay,
I think most people,
it's pretty much
I think that's fair game. Yeah.
It's unofficial, but pretty much everyone gets it. So I obviously put what I would consider my rent in this on the Built card. So I did $1,500 of rent for 3 months. So that's $4,500. I also threw some other bills slash other category under the 5X. So $850 earning 5X. Nice. And then you get 3X on dining with Built. So I threw some restaurant budget on there. I did $1,500 for some restaurant budget dining out expenses. So earning 3X on there. And I mean, I really got to push it with the Built card here. There's some great free opportunities to earn Built points, and we can't look past those. Yep, fair game here. So with Built, if you link your loyalty programs up, your free loyalty programs, you can earn 1,600 points. If you link the two other no annual fee cards to your Built wallet, you can earn another 200 points. And then they have rent days. And, you know, I kind of stretched that out as well. Though I will be conservative on our rent day trivia and just say you didn't get all of the answers all 3 months that we were earning rent. You never do.
It's so hard.
Yep. So I just did a conservative $300 points earned from rent day challenges. So all of that leads us to, with just the spend alone, it was... 13,250 points, but then adding those kind of bonus opportunities that you get with Built, which is one of the reasons I had to add the Built card in here. I think it's one of the best no annual fee cards you can have. So with all of those extras, that bumped me up to 15,350 Built points. So still looking pretty solid over here.
Clever approach. I thought about the Built card, but I did not account for the linking your loyalty programs and linking cards to the Built wallet. And I also didn't really think about the sign up bonus, which I don't know if you fully mentioned, but the one she's referring to is, I think it's the first 5 days, right?
Yes.
In the first 5 days, you earn 5x on
any purchase outside of rent. So
exactly.
Yeah. So you can't maximize your rent on that, but it's a really smart strategy. I mean, technically not everyone gets it, but if you can pair that up with, if you have some bills you can pay up front, or you just have some large expenses coming up, you can rack up, as you can see, a lot of points. I only did a very conservative $850 of other spend earning that 5x. So, you can really stack up there. And I actually didn't think of all those extra things until I was getting stuck with what I wanted to do with those Built points. And then I was like, oh, the coolest part about Built is that you can do things without spend. So that was a last minute add-on for me. I'll tell the truth on here in the challenge.
Nice.
So then my last card, the Freedom Flex, pretty simple here. I actually just threw grocery spend on there because they do have a sign-up bonus floating around out there where you can earn a $200 cash back bonus plus get 5x on gas and grocery stores after spending $500 in the first 3 months. And so with the $200 bonus, which you earn ultimate rewards with the Freedom Flex, you can only use those in the portal. You can't transfer them out to partners. And then some grocery spend that would earn 5x. I have 22,300 ultimate rewards points on the Freedom Flex.
Okay.
So that's my point stack. We'll see what I did with it.
Okay. Very interesting. I love how we both went totally different directions without even talking about this at all. This is great. Definitely going to make things more interesting. Okay. So my trip, without further ado, I'll break down exactly what I did. Like I said, most of this is just creative cash bookings. And it starts off from Toronto with a multi-city ticket on Turkish Airlines. And I have receipts for all of this too. I have screenshots from Google Flights and the hotel programs and everything, just from when I actually did this research. This would be departing on October 22nd of next year, so quite far out. But because it's that far out, I found a multi-city ticket, Toronto to Denpasar, Indonesia, Bali, aka Bali.
Yep.
And then the other segment of the multi-city is Tokyo Narita back to Toronto. And that as one ticket on Turkish Airlines, both ways, so just one layover in Istanbul in each direction, costs $1,249. So then basically the rest of this is just filling in the blanks. And so that's leaving on October 22nd, coming back from Tokyo on November 11th. So it's a few weeks of travel here. In Denpasar, there is a Hilton hotel that you can book for 10 nights for a grand total of 104,000 Hilton Honors points. Does that sound familiar? Oh, sure. Yeah, that's exactly how many Hilton points I earned from my sign-up bonus, which is exactly why I put that specific amount of spend on the card. And that's making use of Hilton gives you every fifth night free when you use points. And because it's a 10-night stay, you get 2 nights free. So you're only paying for 8 nights. Mm-hmm. Now, this is one of the cheapest Hilton hotels in the world. It's near the airport in Bali. It's not an airport hotel, but if you don't know Bali, the airport is right on the beach. And this hotel is also close to the beach and has free shuttle service for anyone staying at the hotel that takes you around Bali to sites and beaches and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's a very cheap place to stay that still gives you really good access to the island and to transport and the airport, obviously. And considering how cheap it is for 10 nights, that's a trade-off I would actually do. And so I think that was a nice compromise. From Bali, we are going to fly to Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, for $132 on Vietjet Air. Spend the night, or sorry, 3 nights in Saigon. Then fly. I'll go through the hotels here afterwards. I'll just finish up with the flights. Mm-hmm. Then Ho Chi Minh City to Tokyo Narita for $144 cash, also on Vietjet Air. Mm-hmm. And so now we have 10 nights in Bali, 3 nights in Ho Chi Minh City, 5 nights in Tokyo. And the thing I love about Southeast Asia, aka Vietnam, is that you can book super nice hotels, like 4 and 5 star hotels, for incredibly cheap. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even like 30 or 40 bucks a night. But I wanted to take it a step up. I wanted to go twice as luxurious. So I went like 60 bucks a night each. And I found a really nice looking hotel in Ho Chi Minh City, 3 nights for $181 cash. It's great. Then, like I said, flight to Tokyo, and then 5 nights in Tokyo. And if you've never been to Tokyo, I think there's a misconception about Japan that it's like the most expensive place in the world. Mm-hmm. It's cheap. Japan is not expensive. Like, doing things in Japan is cheap. Museums are cheap. Food is cheap. Transport is cheap. And hotels are cheap. You can stay in not only like capsule hotels where you're in like kind of a dorm, but you can stay in like these cute little, they're pretty small rooms, but they're very clean, very nice, mm-hmm. great location, for like 50 bucks a night. And that's exactly what I did in downtown Tokyo in Ginza, which is a great neighborhood close to Tokyo Station, close to all the metro stops. It's not Shibuya or Shinjuku. It's not Asakusa. It's not any of those, but you can get there in 5-10 minutes from Ginza. And I found a place 5 nights for $281 cash. Just going on Google and searching Hotel Tokyo, setting my filter to a price point, setting the guest rating to 4 stars and above, and then setting the hotel star rating. So like, you know, 3-star hotel, 4-star hotel, 5-star hotel to 3-star hotel. So it's like a middle quality at a low price point, but highly reviewed by people who have stayed there. Those are my parameters. And I found plenty of options. I always do in Japan. It's hard to find a bad hotel in Japan. $281. And that is the entire trip. So Toronto to Bali, 10 nights. Bali to Ho Chi Minh City, 3 nights. Ho Chi Minh City to Japan, 5 nights. Japan back to Toronto. And the grand cost of the trip was $1,987 of cash and 104,000 Hilton Honors points, which means I even have almost $400 of cash left over after this whole thing. And that can cover airport taxis. That can cover food in Southeast Asia. That'll get you pretty far. So pretty much, even aside from just hotels, airfare, and local transit and things like that, pretty much everything else is also covered with these $3 annual fee cards for a trip through Asia for 3 weeks.
I'm so impressed. I feel like Mike's going to figure out how to get to Asia, which is like, that's a challenge, you all.
It is. And I think the way it worked here was that, first of all, if you funnel your resources into getting one specific type of currency, which in mm-hmm. my case was just cash,
yep.
it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
But also booking far out, that was another key thing. I went like to the end of the airline calendar. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much as far out as any airline will let you book. Mm-hmm. And then multi-city. So this is another cool thing to do. Like if you're traveling to one place and then you're coming back home from a different place, if you book on the same airline as a multi-city, you can save money, because if it's on the same airline and on the same ticket, you'll save in like fees and taxes and things like that. It's way cheaper than if I booked those 2 individual flights, even on the same airline. But if I booked them separately, it would have cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars more than booking it as a multi-city.
Right.
So that's another cool hack that I try to think about when I'm booking these longer trips, or trips that aren't just like round trip, like home to somewhere, back to home. look into multi-city bookings. And you can do this easily on Google Flights. They have a multi-city. They have like one way, round trip, and then multi-city. Yeah. And you can add a whole bunch of cities in there. But if one airline flies to those places you're going to, Google will give you a good result of a multi-city trip on that same airline, yeah, on the same ticket, and save you a whole bunch of money.
Well done.
And this was cool for me because I never, like, cashback is not my thing, yeah, at all. And so I think I was surprised to see like just how far two cashback $0, yeah, cards can take you.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just very interesting. And I think $10,000 of spending,
yep,
we didn't set like a time frame for this, but realistically, like, you could take as long as you meet the minimum spends, like, this $10,000, yeah, could be over a 6-month period. And that's not unreasonable at all for most people for, yep, spending habits. And so reasonable spending, three $0 annual fee cards, a once in a lifetime trip through Asia. Not too bad.
We're going to have to do this again.
Vote for me. All right, nice. Megan, let's hear it. All right,
are you ready for it? We are headed to South America now.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, let us all go visit the vibrant city of Bogota, Colombia.
Oh, I love Bogota. Okay.
Mike's going to vote for my trip, everyone.
I might, actually. I had a dream about Bogota the other night.
Amazing. All right, so I think the way I approach this is I want it, since I have... Unlike Mike, I don't have like everything cash back. I have currencies that can transfer. I have currencies that can only be used in a portal. Like, these currencies can kind of go everywhere. And so the way I kind of approached it was trying my best to segment these between this will be used for transportation, this will be used for hotel. And then I did something interesting with my built points, which I'm just going to leave you all on a cliffhanger there. We'll get there. Don't worry. So... we'll start with flights, and I use the Capital One Venture Miles for my flights. So my home airport is Orlando MCO. So I started by looking there. It's generally pretty easy to find flights to South America, Central America from MCO. And I found some good options, particularly on Avianca. But then I decided to expand my search a little more and look at some other airports nearby. And I ended up finding much better flights from Fort Lauderdale. So Fort Lauderdale to Bogota on November 10th. So I also expanded the calendar quite far out. The flight there is only 5,100 points plus $46 in taxes and fees. And then a flight home November 17th, Bogota to Fort Lauderdale, 6,800 points plus $117 taxes and fees.
Which program is this with?
With Avianca.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So booked through Avianca, Life Miles flying on Avianca. So 11,900 miles, I think, from MCO. I think I was going above 21,000 miles. So, wow, saved quite a bit of miles, positioning myself to Fort Lauderdale. And if you're like, but wait, how do I get to Fort Lauderdale? How does that go into the budget? Well, have you heard there's a new train line that takes you from MCO to Fort Lauderdale Airport? It's called the Brightline Train. I looked that up. Those tickets were only $69. So you could, I'm well in my budget still, you could just pay the cash, $69, to take the train there and back. Or if you wanted to cover one of those directions with Capital One miles, we still have enough Capital One Venture miles to cover one, since those can cover travel, we could cover one direction. So that would be 6,900 points if you wanted to cover one of those. So if you want to throw in the train tickets, you're still going to have 5,000 Capital One miles left hanging out in your account so that you can keep on earning. So there's our transportation. Once we get there, I decided to look in the Chase Ultimate Rewards travel portal for hotels. That is, you can do cash back. So we could have gone cash back route with, like Mike did, but I thought I'd just take a look in the portal. And I like to, when I get somewhere, not move my stuff around as much as possible. So I wanted to see if I could find a place that my points would cover for all 7 days of my journey through Bogota. And there were several, but the one that caught my eye was the Casa Carrizo, and that would be 22,000 points for all 7 nights. So hotel is now covered. If you wanted to get just a little more central and go closer towards that 5-star hotel range, there was also one in there that would be 22,000 points plus $270 in cash. Again, still in our budget. We've got some options on where you can stay, but there were plenty of options inside of the travel portal for you to look through, just kind of depending on what your comfort level is in a hotel. As a reminder, the card that I had there was the Chase Freedom Flex, and we talk about the ultimate rewards all the time when it comes to Chase. And I think it's important to note that these points that you're earning on a Freedom card are a little different than if you were holding a Sapphire card. So you can either use these for cashback or you can redeem them inside of the Ultimate Rewards travel portal. They are going to be only at 1 cent per point unless you hold one of those Sapphire cards. So when you hold a Sapphire card with it, you can then transfer your points to travel partners, and you also have higher redemption rates inside the portal. But by holding a $0 annual fee card, you still get access to the travel portal where you can still find some pretty awesome hotels like I outlined a moment ago.
Amazing.
And then moving on to our final category here, my built points. And I said I did something a little weird with these. What did I do?
I'm so curious. What weird things can you do with built points?
Well, it turns out you can book some experiences using built points at 1.2 cent per point, which, I mean, it's not the worst, right?
No, not at all.
And there were some really cool experiences in there, including some day trips that include transportation with it. So I've mapped out a whole itinerary for your stay in Bogota here, and I'll walk you through it, and I'll talk you through the redemptions that we'll get as well using our built points. So day one is your arrival day. You'll arrive at 5:30 p.m. and hopefully go grab some Colombian empanadas or something along the lines. I had Colombian empanadas in Guatemala, and they were like the best empanadas I've ever had in my life, and I've been dying to get back there. I'm certain that there's many more authentic Colombian cuisines you should have, but my mouth is watering thinking about those. Then day two, you want to keep it nice and relaxed after you arrive from a day of travel, right? So go give yourself a free walking tour of the city, eat some more delicious food. That's my favorite thing to do on a first arrival day to a new city, is just to get lost, maybe do one of the free walking tours and learn some history. And then day three brings us to our first fun experience redemption. So with 6,749 built points, you can go to the Guatavita Lagoon and Salt Cathedral. So you'll get a full day tour of those two beautiful sites in Colombia. And then on day four, it's a free day for you. Choose your own adventure. You always need a flexible day in your travel, so you can ask the locals what you should do, grab some street food, whatever just gets you jazzed up to see in a new city. And then day five brings us to our second built experience, and this one is a waterfall hike to the tallest waterfall in Colombia. It includes transportation, it includes breakfast and lunch, and it is all for only 7,283 points.
Wow.
Not bad at all. Then day six, go check out the Museo Botero, which is free. Enjoy the city a little bit more. You heard it from Mike. It's so cool. I don't think I said at the beginning, I haven't been to Bogota, so I'm seriously considering going on this trip.
I loved Bogota when I was there. It's a great city.
Yeah. And then day seven, you have a morning flight out, and that wraps up your amazing trip, seeing an incredible new city.
Wow. Bravo. I like how you included activities in yours. That is a nice touch, especially with with points. And I think that's just really important to highlight. Like a lot of people know the built card is awesome.
Like
it's great for earning points. The points are really valuable. They're always adding new transfer partners in. Mm-hmm. But I definitely overlook the fact that you can use your points in so many cool ways.
Yeah.
And that is definitely an added perk of that card.
Yeah. And they just keep adding to it, right? You just wrote about their new, transfer partner. Yeah, Avianca. They just keep adding to it. It's such a great program.
Yeah. The people behind Built Rewards are like us. They're travel hackers who love points and miles, who know hotel and airline programs. They know what people like us want. Yep. And so it's a good time to start investing in Built Points because it's only going to get better. It's not like the other programs. It is geared to give people like us value.
Yep.
And that's right. Much is clear.
That's right. And I had no heartache. If you do the math there on the Built Points, you'll notice that we're pretty much spending all our points on those experiences that we earned. But I have no heartache doing that because you know you're going to be able to keep putting your rent on there. You know mm-hmm. you're going to keep having those rent day opportunities, random opportunities that they throw out at you to earn yep. more points. It's just such a great earning program that I feel pretty excited to do two really awesome experiences, save a lot of cash. We have a ton of cash left in our budget to take care of anything extra you want to throw into your Bogota adventure. It's a great program.
All right. So now that we've gotten to this point, the rest is up to you, folks. Which trip do you like the best? 3 weeks in Asia. I'm sorry, I got to give myself a handicap here. 3 whole weeks in Asia or 1 week in Colombia.
Or 7 extraordinary days strolling through what might become your new favorite city.
That's more accurate. But as we said, there's a link in the show notes here to the Daily Drop Lounge in Facebook where we will have a poll and we want to hear your opinion on this. And if you liked this format of the episode where we kind of challenge ourselves to do something and get creative with credit cards and points and miles and travel, let us know because we can come up with more. This is really fun for us too. And so we can do more episodes like this if you enjoyed it. And you can let us know by reaching out at podcast@dailydrop.com or ideally you can leave us a review, a good one, you know, or a pretty good one if you like it, and let us know what you want to hear. Give us some feedback. Tell us what you liked and what you don't like and what you want more of. And if you're watching this on the YouTube, toss a comment down there, give us the thumbs up, and we would really, really appreciate it.
That's right. We're so grateful for you all, and we'll see you next time. Happy travel hacking, friends.
Take care, y'all.